So we celebrate today the feast of the beheading of St. John the Baptist, the natural thing, especially in light of what has happened in the last couple of days that comes to people's mind. Couldn't God have stopped it? After all, we have these very, very unfortunate people who call themselves politicians who are now telling us prayer does no good, prayer is stupid, thoughts and prayers, they don't do any good. Why would you do that? They're useless, they're worthless. It didn't stop this from happening. Did it ever say that it would? We've got this idea that God is some magician up there who's just there to do whatever we tell him to do. I snapped my fingers, I said, you do this, and by golly, you better do it. And guess what? He didn't do what I said that he should do. Therefore, he's not God. Really? Because I am, I guess. Because I can tell him what he's supposed to do. But let's look at this a little more deeply. Why didn't God stop this? He could have, just as he intervened so that St. Peter was released miraculously from the jail. And then later, he didn't intervene when Peter was crucified upside down. Couldn't he have saved Peter that time? Sure, he could have. But he didn't, because it was for the greater glory of God. St. Paul talks about how he was freed from so many things, and even right to the very end, he said, God will free me, and he did. Not in the earthly way, but rather freed him so that he could go to heaven. What is important, however, is to read the scriptures carefully, because for the life of me, I cannot understand, first of all, that whole idea that God should just do what I tell him to do, and as long as I believe in God, everything's going to be easy and wonderful, and I'm going to be rich, and I'm not going to have any suffering at all, because Jesus did it all for me. Have you ever read the Bible? The Bible was written to and for people who are suffering. Read it. It's what it's all about. Nowhere does it say God is going to take that away, but instead, what does it tell us? That God was going to be Emmanuel, God with us. Not to take it all away, to be with us. And in case we were to come up with some idiotic thing like we tend to do, say, God doesn't understand. God never had to go through any of this, so he doesn't get it. Well, guess what? He came down, he took on our sufferings, he went to the cross, he gets it. Because he lived it. Not so that we wouldn't have to do it, but so that we would have a different way of doing it. You can suffer because we're all going to. And what's the difference between your suffering and that of an animal? You're human. You have a mind and you have a free will. You can unite your suffering with that of the Lord and you can use it for good. An animal cannot do that. And tragically, most human beings do not do that. Because we have the wrong perspective. We have this tragedy that has happened. Does Our Lady understand what those moms feel like today? Her son was taken away from her. Her son was put to death unjustly. She understands. And she's with them. Jesus understands. And he is with them. The question each one of us has to ask in the midst of our suffering is, am I with him? He's right there with me. Am I with him? Because if I'm looking at it the wrong way, I'm going to get angry because God allowed this to happen. Should St. Elizabeth and should she have been angry that God allowed her son to be beheaded? Should Our Lady have been angry that God allowed her son to be crucified? Should the early church or the parents of the apostles be angry because all of them were martyred? See, we have to learn to see these things with the eyes of faith. That doesn't take away the pain. That doesn't take away the injustice. That doesn't take away the horror. But it gives to us an avenue to deal with it, to be able to see it in a different light. I have found it interesting that already there are priests and theologians looking at the question of what happened to these two beautiful little children and asking the question, can they be considered martyrs for the faith? And I have been edified to see that they say yes, because this was clearly something that was done out of hatred for the faith. That therefore, those who died because of that could be considered martyrs. If that's the case, they're already in heaven, because there is no purgatory for the martyrs. Their parents are parents of saints, if that is the case. Does that make the loss easier? Heavens, no. Does that mean that a mother's heart is suddenly going to be filled with joy and peace? No. But those mothers now have a saint who is praying for them, who remains with them. The loss is on our part, not theirs. If they get to go to heaven, then they get to be like Jesus. He's still with us. He's still with us in our suffering. He hasn't abandoned us, and he never will, because he told us he won't. Suffering on the natural level makes no sense. But we have a means to make sense of the senseless. God brings good out of evil. And that is exactly what he will do for these unfortunate families that are suffering this way now, as well as for you and me in whatever sufferings we have to endure. As long as we can remain faithful to him, he will always be faithful to us. But will we be faithful to him? Again, we look at the first reading, and we hear what God says to the prophet Jeremiah. Look, you don't need to be afraid. I'm going to make you a wall of brass. I'm going to make you a pillar of iron against these people. You have nothing to be afraid of. Right. And they throw him in the stocks, and they throw him into the cistern, and ultimately they kill him. But he has nothing to be afraid of. And he didn't. As long as he stayed with God. Now, Jeremiah was human. He got angry. And rather than preaching the word of God, he started spewing lots of angry things to the people because they were pretty stiff-necked and hard-headed and whatever other things that Scripture calls them. Hard of face, I guess that's one of them that it says. And God had to silence him and said, when you can learn to bring out the holy without the profane. Then you can go and preach again. So you see that in the midst of his anger, in the midst of his suffering, just like many of us, he got angry. It didn't make sense. He didn't understand. He was preaching the word of God to the very people of God, and they rejected it. And he got angry because of it. And rather than God saying, you know what? I'm glad you're angry. I'm glad you see exactly what I have to live with every day with these people. No, that's not what God said to him. He said, get rid of the anger. When you get rid of the anger, then you can preach again. That was a lesson Jeremiah had to learn. God wasn't going to take away the suffering. Jeremiah had to learn what to do with his suffering. Jesus has taught us how to do this. We have the example of our blessed Lord. We have the example of all the saints. So we have a way of making sense of this, not of what happened. That is senseless. That is just plain evil. But of the suffering, of how we can go through things. So on our part now, let's show the politicians once again that they are wrong. Because the only response to an evil like this is prayer. Because God has not abandoned them, he has not abandoned us. He is with us. He is with those families. And don't forget to pray for the family of this poor young man. They're having to suffer too. Think if it was your brother who did that, or your son. They have to live with that. So we don't want to forget them either in our prayers. The charity has to be able to extend beyond the evil. And that's hard. If all we do is look at it on the natural level, we're going to see the evil and we're going to be angry and we're going to lash out and we're going to say they don't deserve it. Which one of us does? We don't deserve it either. And yet God is right there with us. So our task in the midst of suffering is to remain with him, to remain faithful to him, to continue to pray, because he has taught us and he has brought us to himself. He said, when I am lifted up from the earth, then I will draw all people to myself. Not when I'm preaching on the mountain, not even when I'm consecrating at Mass, when I am on the cross, in the midst of the most horrific suffering, it is then that I will draw people to myself. So just as the scriptures were written to and for people who are suffering, the Son of God came into this world for people who are suffering. Not to take away their suffering, but to draw them to himself and to change that suffering, to make that suffering into something holy, and to make the people into saints. That's what he is going to continue to do in the midst of these horrific things. That's what he will do for you and me if we are willing to cooperate, if we are willing to stay with him who came to be God with us.